Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and this is my favorite time of the week to be here and conversing with you. And I've brought along a friend.
Anyone I know, Carolyn?
I don't know. If you join us, we will know you.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Carolyn. This is Richard.
We're glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
And dear friends, if you have signed up for our emails, you know that tonight we're having a very special guest, Claude Monet. And we have lots of questions to ask him, and I hope you do too. And Richard, if they have not signed up for our emails, how can they do that?
Well, they just go to our website called the2012countdown.com, and you enter your email address and your name, and then click on the link in the email that gets sent to you, and bingo, all is done.
Sounds good to me. So, if by chance there are people listening and you're not familiar with how we work, Richard will connect with Mr. Monet. And if you have a picture of him, put it in your third eye and place your attention into the heart area, and maybe you will feel some of the experiences that Richard has with Mr. Monet. So, Richard, tell me, have you connected with him yet?
Indeed, I have, and he's making himself very well known to me. I find it interesting how often that is before the beginning of the show, the way they connect so powerfully with me energetically. It's incredible. It's there's no mistaking the nature of their specific energy. It's like they come and pour it all over me.
And I suspect, and so, this one must be in love, isn't it?
Well, by and large, yes. Unsurprisingly, perhaps. But yes, beautiful, loving energy, a pure, very pure energy. But there is wisdom to it. And it's a very steady energy, very solid. You might expect an artist perhaps to be a little, the word flighty comes to mind, a bit irregular or whatever, but that's not at all the energy of Claude Monet. It is very focused and very steady, very strong, a little bit left of center, very much a love-based energy, just this beautiful energy that is so powerful and clear. It's as if there is a single note playing and it just continues to play. It's so clear and focused. It's very interesting.
That's beautiful. If anybody has been to any of his gardens, you know that he was very much connected with nature.
Indeed he was.
And I suspect he had a great love of nature.
I would think so. Maybe he'll tell us about it. We'll see what he has to say. Shall I see if he has a message for us?
Why don't you do that?
I welcome this opportunity to come forth in this manner. It is an honor to be brought forth in this way. When one crosses over and settles down into that changed environment, you don't think that you will ever have the opportunity to communicate with humanity again. But here I am, through this vehicle, you might say, sharing my thoughts and perceptions with you. And so it is not only an honor but a joy to be able to do this in this manner. And so I would like to begin by perhaps reconnecting you all with my life. As you may know, I was a painter in the time of what is known as the French Impressionists, and some consider that I was perhaps the most important of those painters, and it is not a term that I would use because I had many great friends who were truly wonderful painters, and in many ways I considered them to be better painters than myself. Indeed, I was highly critical for much of my life of my work, and perhaps destroyed not almost as much as I left, but certainly quite a deal of my work I destroyed, and to an extent I have some regrets over that. Much of this was done in times of despair and self-doubt. I was plagued by self-doubt for much of my working life, and I suffered from despair on many occasions. It was only in the later years of my life that I had financial success and some freedom from the challenges of poverty and struggle. And I suffered despair at the death of both of my wives. And so there were certainly large parts of my life which were difficult and challenging. But in the latter years of my life, perhaps you might consider the last 30 or so years, financial success came my way, and this certainly helped a great deal in my view of my own work and my experience, though the latter years of my life were plagued by failing eyesight. Nevertheless, I was able to produce what I consider to be some truly wonderful, you might call them landscapes, but really they are perhaps better described as waterscapes of the water lilies and so on at Giverny, where I lived for the latter part of my life. But my focus was on expressing the essence of things. It is what the Impressionists as a group were about, working with light, working with trying to express the feeling, the character of things rather than the exactitude of the detail of the thing. And some people have considered that I grasped this issue more strongly than others because there were many subjects that I painted repeatedly in different expressions of light, and in so doing conveyed very powerfully, in my view, the sense of their impression as well as their expression as it struck the individual viewer. And this truly was the focus of much of my work. That is not to say that I confused people with what the subject of my work was, because I feel that was very clear in every case, whether it was a haystack or a cathedral or a bridge, all of which formed a series of the nature I described. People were very clear about what these subjects were, but the way in which I painted them reflected the light as it struck them at the moment when I captured them. And I feel I was able to express this in a way that people could connect with. And if you are able to sample some of those series, whether it be of the haystacks or of the cathedral in Rouen, or whether it is the bridges in London, all of these things conveyed these sentiments, you might say, that I sought to convey through my artwork. And I was honored to be asked to produce the series of large panel works that now occupy the Orangerie Gallery near the got out of my head the name of the gallery in Paris, the Louvre. It forms part of the Louvre building area, and so I was very honored to have that request to produce those paintings, because they were painted as a commission, you might say, and I feel that they represent a very powerful statement of my artwork. So I am honored to be able to come forth and just make a few comments to you as a listening audience, people who may be amongst those who have appreciated my paintings. And I am pleased that they have survived down into your time, and perhaps will continue to survive as the world changes, because the world is going to change, my friends, and I am much more interested in talking to you about this and how I see it than I am so much about talking about my own artwork and my own life. I now understand that in my own way I was fulfilling a role to try and lighten, you might say, to lessen some of the rigidity that existed in the world when I lived. There was so much focus on the form of things rather than how people felt about things. People were becoming disconnected from how they felt, their internal guidance, you might say. And in a way, my artwork was about helping people to reconnect with this sense of themselves. And so I feel that I was able to do this to some degree, and in my own way, help people to understand that this was an important part of life. And you, my friends, find yourselves living in a time when that sense of inner guidance, that inner feeling, that inner understanding of yourselves and what it means to be a human being will be expressed in a whole new way. And I say a whole new way because as all of this unfolds, it will take the human experience to a level that it has never reached before, even at the heights of Atlantis. The skills and abilities and the energetic sense of things that humanity will have beyond this transition will go beyond anything that a human being in general in the physical form has experienced. Of course, there are unique individuals that have had unique experiences throughout all of time. But in terms of the average human being and their experience, nothing will match from the past what will be the experience going forward. And I wanted to share this with you because my artwork was about evoking that inner feeling, you might say, that inner sense of how you felt about things. And how you feel about things is so much more important than your world currently gives focus to. And how you feel about things is more important than perhaps anything else. You might hear this expressed as intuition, and really, that is an aspect of what I'm speaking about. This sense of inner guidance is so important. And to be able to connect with that inner guidance, you must be open to the feelings that arise within you. And most people have largely shut these down in the face of the drives to exist, you might say, with the exception of that powerful experience of falling in love with somebody or falling out of love with somebody. Those are very graphic experiences that most people go through at points in their lives. But in terms of being connected moment to moment to the subtle experience of feeling and the guidance and direction that arises from that is something that humanity by and large has been actively and intentionally disconnected from. And so my artwork provides a small doorway to this, but truly the core doorway to this is beginning to spend time, if you do not already, in meditation, going within and, dare I say it, feel what is inside you. Feel what it is that arises when you do this. Whatever that be for you, there is no right nor wrong in this because it is a personal experience of yourself. And no one else can experience you in the way that you experience you. So I encourage you to do this as a stepping stone to prepare for what is about to unfold in your world. And I know many have come forth using those words, about to unfold. But I do mean that. It is extremely close. As you may know, outside of your earthly experience, past, present, and future are very much available to a soul in a more direct way than you have in that linear time experience. We experience rather more readily the past. Of course, we experience the present, and we are able to, in a sense, try on different versions of the future and rather more actively choose the preferred future unfolding, you might say. And in witnessing future, one becomes aware of possibilities and probabilities. And you may be aware of this already. When things are very close in probability, they become very bright in color, very colorful, very detailed, and very strong. And my friends, I wish to say to you that this unfolding that awaits you is painted in very rich colors, colors that I would have struggled to produce from my palette. It is so vivid. And so I say to you that this unfolding truly is about to be in your experience. And be open to this. Be open to the possibility of this change. So many people are looking for change within the current consciousness to see humanity transcend those who wish to control you all. And I would say to you that you will not readily transcend their controls, their manipulation of the human experience within that current consciousness. They have it far too carefully stitched up, you might say. But rather, the human progress beyond it will be this stepping into a new consciousness that is currently joined to your current consciousness. And the stepping across into this new consciousness will involve the rejuvenation of the human physical form to the state that existed before the fall in Atlantis. It is hard for you to imagine this because you think the physical form is solid, but truly it is not. It actually arises, you might say, holographically from the energy body that you carry. And so in a sense, the energy body simply switches from displaying the current physical form to the rejuvenated physical form. Yes, the physical body itself goes through a transition of sorts, and the cells understand this and go through this transition, but it is as if the energy body begins to express itself differently in terms of the physical form in which it manifests. So this is a way to consider this transition, but it is a transition that will arise very soon for all of those who will participate in this shift. And I wanted to share how vividly I am able to witness it and how close it is to becoming part of your experience. It is truly wondrous, and I have been watching all of the preparations for this for quite some time after I understood that it was to be part of the human experience. It is very close to you, my friends. And as you go through this transition, so many more of you will be able to not only appreciate what I was expressing in my artwork more readily, but indeed so many of you will be able to produce your own artwork, which may be similar to mine or be quite different, but be beautiful expressions of the ability to do these things, to paint and to express, and to do so without going through all of the doubt and the financial hardship and the challenges that were in my life, because you will be freed from all of these burdens. You will be like fairies dancing in a glade almost. There will be such joy and freedom and release from the burden of having to struggle to bring forth the money necessary to bring forth what you need to survive in this temporal manner, because you'll be able to express whatever you wish in the temporal manner in the temporal domain simply by visualizing it and intending that it emerge, and it will do so. So having to struggle to get what you need to survive, temporally speaking, will simply disappear from your experience. You will not need to work for this purpose, but rather apply yourself to those things that you feel will move humanity forward or that simply allow you to express yourself. This will become a much freer experience for you all. So this is, in essence, what I wished to convey to you tonight. And if you have any questions, I am very willing to answer them.
Thank you. What a beautiful and exciting message that is. I can't wait. I was at your home in Giverny, and the gardens there are just magnificent. Was that something that you had planned or other people had done for you?
The gardens were to my design. I did much of the planting work myself in terms of the flowers that were planted, but I clearly had help in constructing the bridge and the little pond and so on. All of those things I had assistance with building, but certainly it was to my design. There was very little in the garden itself in terms of how it now looks compared with when I first went there. So you could say I created this, although I did not do all of the physical work myself.
Thank you. I was fortunate enough to see some of your pictures hanging in the museum. And it's very interesting because when you look at them close up, it's really hard to see the form. There's a lot of movement there. And then when you stand back from the picture is when this form comes into view. Can you give us some thoughts as to how you did this?
In part, it is through practice and development of technique, but ultimately, it is an inner expression, you might say, an understanding, even though you're working close to the canvas with oil, that you can visualize how that is going to express itself to someone who stands a little further back. It is hard to explain it, but it is like a gift that is given, or was in my case given to me. Of course, my ability to utilize it took practice and, of course, the associated skill. But it really was a gift that was given to me, you could say. And I simply could stand in front of the canvas and work actually quite quickly in working the color in a manner that would express itself a little further back in both the form that I required and the, you might say, sense of the light that was being expressed on whatever subject it was that I was painting. So you might say I almost channeled that ability.
You had to have loved that property at Giverny, close to the Seine. Can you give us some sort of an idea as to when you found that property and how you decided to buy it?
I had been looking for somewhere away from, you might say, populated areas close to the water. And I always felt a connection to Paris, you might say. And so being close to the river that one associates with Paris was important to me. But there was an energy that I felt in the area when I first went to Giverny. It's like I felt at home there when I first found that location. And so it's like it came to me as much as I went to it. And once I found it, there was really no decision to be made. It was like a painting because once I arrived there, I could visualize how it could look. And so I simply went about deciding how to acquire the property, you might say, and be able to spend my time there. And it truly was one of the gifts of my life to be able to live in that location and to create a quiet work environment that suited me so much, where I could work with light and work out my later years simply painting within the confines of my own backyard, you might say. It was a wonderful gift.
People love and admire your work. Tell me how it makes you feel looking at the world today and how they revere your work. What is that like?
I feel honored and humbled that people should treasure my work in the way that they clearly do. It is, in a way, unfortunate that many of my works of art are hidden away in private collections, because I feel it is better for them to be in public galleries where people can see them and experience them. And it is one of the reasons I feel so happy with the panels that are in the Orangerie near the Louvre, because they are on public display. And I am able to witness the joy of people and the amazement of people when they first visit and experience those large panels, because they do create a unique experience. They are in special rooms, if you have not seen them, set up to display these panels in an oval shape. And they are quite large panels. And so people are surrounded by these water lily images with two different colors in the two rooms. And so I am able to witness, as I say, people's reaction. And it is a joy to me. It is a joy, particularly given how difficult life is becoming for so many people, that they can go to a gallery and simply immerse themselves in not only my artwork, but the artwork of my contemporaries and others, to in a way, escape from that oppressive life experience that is currently present. Of course, there was a lot of oppression and difficulty in my time, but in so many ways, having gone through a period where it seemed to be escaping from this, is now getting very much tightened down and rapidly getting worse. And so I enjoy witnessing people experiencing that escape of an art gallery and the joy that they have in experiencing not only my artwork, but the artwork of my contemporaries and others.
Thank you. I would like to invite our listeners to call in with their questions. Mr. Monet would be most happy to answer your questions also. And if you had been, anybody had been to Giverny, call in and tell us your impression of what that property is like, what it means to you to see it. It is a beautiful expression of creativity and form and color. So coming to the world today, you have given us some thoughts of changes. What changes do you see on the horizon, Mr. Monet?
I feel I gave a sense of this in my message earlier, and that is I am able to witness this transformation that is coming into your world, this transformation that has long been planned to liberate those of humanity that wish to move forward through a reclaiming, you could say, of the state of existence that was present in the time of Atlantis and then moving beyond this. And so this I see being accessed, as I mentioned, through the emergence of the rejuvenated physical form. And it will be an illustration in the world of this change, an illustration to those who've not made the step, and a beacon, you might say, to them, calling them to take the same step, to ask what on earth is happening, to ask how they can participate and what it means. Because not all, as you know, understand any of this. Most of humanity is buried in their living of life and do not even give credence to the things that we are doing or talking about here tonight. And so it will emerge in that manner so that those who, on a soul level, have chosen to participate in this will be called to step across, you might say, by the presence of others who have already made this step, beginning with the cherubim, as you understand, but then broadening out into the general population. It is one of the reasons why the cherubim have been spread across the planet in this lifetime, rather than all in the same place working together as they did in so many other past lives. They are scattered across the planet so that there will be beacons in all of the locations where they are present, and when they step across into this form, it will be something that cannot be ignored, as hard as the mainstream press might work to suppress it. It will be impossible, and it simply will make itself known in the world and begin the transformation that cannot and will not be denied.
Thank you for your answer. It fills me with such great joy. Did you start painting at a very young age?
I did start painting quite young, or more particularly, I began drawing quite young. I was a child at school, and I did not have access to paints and so on, but I filled my school books full of drawings of people and nature and so on. And although I was quite capable as a student, I really found the confines of the schoolroom to be very restricting. And so I spent as much of my time as possible outdoors, drawing in my school books primarily, because that is what I had to work with. And this did not go down overly well with some of my teachers, who wanted me to write in those books rather than draw in them. But nevertheless, I was driven to this path in life. It is like it chose me rather than I chose it. And so it was something of a challenge, because my father did not support me in this path, but rather resisted it. And I had to do it despite him to an extent in my early years. And so that contributed to my challenges in getting started as an artist. But really, I felt I had no choice. It's like it bubbled forth in me from, as I said, quite a young age.
Thank you. I would like to go back to that time before you actually came into the world of Claude Monet. Did you choose the work that you did before you came in, being a painter, an artist? Was that decided before you came into that lifetime?
I did not understand these things when I was alive at all, but I have since reviewed it since I crossed over, and I'm very clear that I chose that life. I also chose the challenges in life, the struggle, which I must say I wish I had chosen a little differently, but nevertheless I see that I chose my parents and the challenges involved in that. But in ways I see that it also had me be so focused and committed to my path, regardless of what would seek to stop me. It made me very strong in a sense, and given the challenges and difficulties that at times I had in my life, had it not been for that overwhelming drive, I may not have continued to paint and continued on, and may not even have continued to live. So perhaps in that way it supported my journey as a painter. But I very clearly chose that path, and I can see also that I chose my two partners in life before I came. I had no idea of any of this, as I say, when I was incarnate. But I do now understand how much we choose our lives before we come. And the time will come when, again, humanity in general understands this. But the whole experience of being a human being is about to change enormously.
What advice might you give to an individual who wishes to follow the path of the artist?
Firstly, I would say that anyone who is going to be a great artist will not really have much choice about it, because it comes forth in you with such a drive that it is simply not possible to ignore it. Yes, there have been those who have dabbled, you might say, and at times partly been an artist and partly done other things in life. But those who truly are driven to be an artist in ways have little choice but to give it their all. And so I would say to you to accept this, you might say, inspiration that is coming forth in you. It is something you, like me, chose before you came, and it is simply going to be expressed. And so I encourage you to embrace that direction coming from within and to do whatever you need to do to give it expression, to learn the skills you need, to surround yourself with the people that will support you on that journey, because the journey of an artist in the current consciousness is a difficult one almost without exception. And so embrace it, but also embrace it with the understanding that the opportunity for you to practice your vocation, you might say, will become much, much easier as these changes come forth. But simply accept that inner guidance. And indeed, I would say this to everyone, not just those who are drawn to be artists, whether they be musicians or composers or painters or singers or whatever it is that you are drawn to do. I am not just speaking to you, but to everyone as you walk your path in life. Accept that inner guidance that comes forth. It is not an overwhelming drive for everyone, but it is there always. Accept your path as your path, whatever it be, and walk it to the best of your ability. That is my overwhelming advice to everyone.
I would like to thank you for all of these very frank and complete answers. Before we go, do you have a favorite work of art that you have done?
It is a difficult question that you ask because of the variety of things that I did. And overall, I am very content with my body of work. And there are, in many ways, works of art that are more complex, you might say, than those panels in the orangery. But as I mentioned earlier, those panels and the setting in which they are carried gives me great joy because I witness people's experience when they first come across them for the first time. I often put myself in a place where I can witness people's reaction in that way. It brings me great joy. And so I would say that in part because of the impact that display has and the power of those pieces of work, they are perhaps amongst my favorites.
What a beautiful answer. I feel almost like I am there with you, envisioning all of this. Thank you for all of your answers. You have been forthright and giving us your, you might say some of your very secret feelings about your work, and I want to thank you. And Richard, I want to thank you for bringing this forth. As usual, you have done great work.
Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you for your wonderful questions. Without your questions, we would have little in the way of a show.
Well, we all played our part, didn't we?
Indeed.
We are coming close to the end of our hour, and you wanted to talk a little bit about the Book of Love, I believe.
Yes. I know some of our listeners are aware of both the original Book of Love and the fact that you have brought forth, a rework. And so I guess I wanted to talk a little about that because I think it's very exciting. Some of you may know that there was a book that was treasured by the Cathars, called the Book of Love, which they understood was given by Yeshua. And that book disappeared, perhaps with the Cathars themselves, I'm not sure. And a little while ago, Yeshua came to Carolyn and asked if she would be willing to take what you might consider an updated version of the Book of Love, carrying, you might say, the core essence of that book, but in a modern context and also containing Carolyn's experiences associated with bringing it forth. And so that unfolded, and I recorded all of that and transcribed it. And so we have that new, you might say, version of the Book of Love. Again, the core elements, there are not too many elements to it, and it's not really a long book, but what it has to say is very powerful, I think, very powerful and very fundamental, and some of it is perhaps surprising. And so I'm in the final phases of getting that into a state where I can make it available to people, and hopefully in the next week or so it'll become available, and I'm very excited to be able to do that. I'm also making available to those who decide to purchase the Book of Love the opportunity to also get a copy of Carolyn's channeling of it, so you can download that as well and either listen to it in that form or just have it available, you might say, to be able to listen to it and feel the energy of Carolyn bringing this piece of beautiful piece of work forth from Yeshua. So, as I say, hopefully that will be available very soon, and I'm very excited by its content. As I say, it's in ways very simple and relatively brief, but very powerful.
I'm chuckling here because Yeshua has come forth, Richard, to give our audience a few words about this, if you would take his message.
Oh, you want me to take his message? All right.
Yeah.
My friends, I could not resist the opportunity to come forth and give my brief view on what I gave to Carolyn, because I consider this to be a very important understanding for people to have in the world. In some ways it is very simple, and yet it is very profound. And it talks about some fundamental processes that you can take advantage of, but also it talks about the fundamental role that love plays in the living of life, because love is so fundamental to the living of life in a productive and balanced way. And so these things are expressed. And indeed, the original Book of Love did come forth from me. As you may recognize, there are no words in the Bible or elsewhere that are actually words that I provided. And there are words that I wrote, and the Book of Love was one of those, but it disappeared. And the other works that I wrote remain hidden, because indeed, for the most part, they were written for you in this time, not so much people in my time, but they were placed in another dimension for safekeeping, and they will come forth, my friends. You will hear and be able to read my words in this dimension in the fullness of time. But for now, the Book of Love is an introduction, you might say, to some of the understandings that I shared with people who were close to me in my life and those who wanted to follow in my footsteps. And so I encourage you to connect with this quite short little booklet, but I consider it to be a very powerful message to all of you. And so it is.
Thank you, Yeshua. I hope we have time for this answer. Myrtle is on line one. Myrtle, your question?
Well, I'm delighted. I'm astonished. I'm surprised. I'm trying to believe that Richard is actually Yeshua incarnated. Is that what I heard?
No. Richard, you want to answer Myrtle?
Yes, Myrtle, I was channeling Yeshua. Yeshua came forth.
Oh, okay, yes, so it's channeling.
To give me a message, just as I was channeling Monet a moment ago. So I was bringing forth Yeshua's words.
Well, thank you. I had been busy with something else, but remembered that this was the hour in which I could tune into you. So I didn't hear who was doing what, you know, and then I just misunderstood that it was you. You were who, when? I'm sorry, I'm fumbling. who did the writing?
On what? The Book of Love? The original Book of Love was written by Yeshua, and it was one
that
of the books that was,
you said.
It was one of the books that was treasured by the Cathars. The Cathars, who lived in southern France, primarily in the Languedoc area.
Can I just stop you there? When you say, I'm sorry to interrupt at that moment, I'm being rude, but I want to understand clearly. When I picked up the phone and I heard you say, I wrote, you were channeling Yeshua, is that right?
Correct.
Okay, I'm getting it, I think.
Good, Myrtle. We're at the end of the show, practically, and we really have to go now, but thank you for your question.
Thank you for your decency.
Richard, is there anything you'd like to add to this?
No, I don't think so. As I said, I hope that I hope to have the Book of Love available within the next week or so. I've just got a few things to tidy up to make it available, but I'm looking forward to making it available to people because I think it'll be very exciting.
Yes, and Richard does work very hard in getting these things together and ready so he can send out to people. And I look forward to that time when that is finished and he can provide it to you. Richard, thank you for your talents. Thank you to Mr. Monet. It was a beautiful night. I enjoyed everything, and I hope our listeners enjoyed it also.
Indeed. And thank you again, Carolyn, for your contribution. Without your part in this game, we would have no game.
Well, it all kind of works together, doesn't it?
It is. And so, until next time, my friends, good night for now.
Until next time, good night for now.